talking about being forward, of the accomplishment of your group. And would you start out with going way back to menstrual extraction?
I think the Feminist Women's Health Centers and the Federation and other women's health projects have made a tremendous difference in women's reproductive control, not just here even, but abroad. I think the first way was, you know, through developing the technology of menstrual extraction, which really put directly into women's hands the means to terminate an early pregnancy or extract a menstrual period. And also to decisively influence the quality of abortion care in this country. I mean, there are so many look-alikes of, you know, women's centers. I mean, and the way that abortion care is delivered here is directly deriving from the kinds of demands that women were making here and in New York. You know, for example, the whole concept of counseling came from the women's movement. The whole idea of informed consent and non-traumatic procedures and, you know, treating women with dignity. You know, in fact, abortion is probably the most humane and enlightened healthcare procedure that there is. I mean, as compared to, let's say, a tonsillectomy or a hysterectomy or whatever. You know, take nearly as much care. And that really was promoted by the women, as I say, in New York City particularly, and also here in Los Angeles.
Just a little aside on this issue of abortion now. So many times when it comes up in the media, etc., it seems to me that it gets a kind of a funny kind of press. It gets a real negative press. Mm-hmm. And it always seems to me that, I don't know, what's behind it, right-wing kind of ideology or what, but it's always like the woman who's been so traumatized by it. They don't emphasize the positive aspects of the brain. This is my point of view. Do you agree with that?
Oh, very much so. Mm-hmm. In fact, I hate to say it, but I think both the supporters and the opponent, you know, oftentimes really make abortion seem to be a lot more, you know, of a trauma and an emotionally wrenching thing. Yes, it is sometimes very, very traumatic, but usually because of the social circumstances, not because of the actual procedure itself. It's a very simple and safe procedure. And, you know, if women, you know, didn't have to, for example, tell their partners, you know, if they could just go in and get a procedure or whatever and didn't have to go through the ordeal of raising the money or, you know, going through any of the hurdles that society puts up for them, probably wouldn't be that traumatic. I mean, not that women rush in to get abortions just, you know, lightly. But it's not, you know, to portray it as this heavy emotional thing is also really a distortion and a result of all this pressure. And, of course, the anti-abortion people, like you say, the right wing, they always try to make it very lurid and melodramatic. Sometimes the supporters fall into that trap, too.
Very good. Good point. Now, going back to, we digressed a little bit there, but going back to, and when, at the time when menstrual extraction was developed, and what did you, what were you doing with it then? You and, could you talk a little bit about going on and studying it?
Yeah, Lorraine Rothman and I, as part of the group, we were sent, you might say, we were funded or commissioned or delegated or whatever to go speak across the country about self-help and about menstrual extraction. And everywhere we went, we, you know, not only talked about menstrual extraction, but we performed it. You know, generally there was someone who was on her period, and we could use her as the model, or we ourselves would, you know, have our periods extracted. Or in some cases, women were in early stages of pregnancy, and we would, you know, demonstrate how to terminate the pregnancy. And it just had an electrifying effect on the women's groups that we went to see. Because for one thing, they had no idea that this is what we were going to be coming to talk about. Because we obviously were not putting this in the mail.
Yes. Yeah.
So the word had to be spread by, you know, word of mouth. And it you know, especially in the states where abortion was illegal.
Were you ever in trouble because of this? Did you ever actually get in trouble with the law in some of these
states? We have never got in one ounce of trouble about menstrual extraction. Other things, we've gotten into lots of trouble at different times. But the one thing that you might think would be the most, you know, hot potato, for some reason it's never been a problem. I mean, Colleen Wilson, she was charged with one count of menstrual extraction. That was one of her many counts. But now, in this case, the woman who had the menstrual extraction definitely was in her menstrual period, so it was menstrual extraction, you know, per se. And when she plea bargained, they didn't think that was the worst. They thought fitting a diaphragm was much worse. So it was
without a medical license.
Right, without the medical license. So it's never been legally put to the test.
Mm-hmm.
The courts have never. Other than the Supreme Court, they've never taken official notice of it, even.
So after doing this, touring and doing a lot of speaking, now, did you do it all over the country pretty much, or was it? I presume that it was real well received and word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. Very well received.
And you know, you did spend quite a bit of time doing that, didn't you? This is 70?
Uh-huh.
71.
Mm-hmm. We stopped, I believe, at 20 or 25 cities. It was a fair number of places that we went to visit,
mm-hmm,
over a 6-week period.
And did you introduce, you guys introduce this to, like, say, some other big cities, like New
mm-hmm
York and Chicago?
Oh, yes.
And
mm-hmm
they haven't been working in this direction?
No. No, this was new to them at that time. But it, you know, they very quickly saw the possibilities of this. The one exception to this were the women in Chicago, because they had come out to California a couple of months prior to our visit. And, you know, we had shared that technology with them at that time. So they already knew all about it. These are the Jane women, so, that did illegal abortion. And who, you know, are sort of legendary.
In abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Were they prosecuted?
They were arrested. Mm-hmm. But the charges were this man,
mm-hmm,
ultimately.
Mm-hmm. So. You see, what the area then is the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be too much discussing stuff, although I really like to be here.
Yeah. Well, this was, they were arrested in 72, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now then, let's say that, what was the next big thing that you became involved with, mm-hmm, that became a major contribution or media attention or something that, you know?
Well, not, I'm can't say so much media attention, but I think a very significant thing that has been accomplished by the women's movement and the health centers particularly has been our understanding of population control and our work on that issue. It's very significant because it internationalized our struggle. It, you know, made us see how women's reproductive rights were affected all over the world and how, you know, not only abortion but forced sterilization,
mm-hmm.
you know, was part of that.
Uh-huh.
And it put us in touch with when we went to Europe, for example.
What year was that, too?
We went to Europe in 1973. Mm-hmm. The year that the Supreme Court decision came in. And of course, you know, to talk to women there was very helpful to see what, for example, how birth control methods were tested in their community. Maybe the women's movement here had said no experimentation on us. So fine. They just go over to Sweden and someplace else to do this. So this was really very eye-opening for us.
Where did you go in Europe?
We went mostly to the, you know, western, the northwestern part of Europe.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to northwestern Europe?
Well, we went to Denmark, and that was the furthest north.
Yeah.
And Italy and Germany and England and Holland. Let's see, Belgium. I don't know. There's more than that, but I'm.
And when you were there, did you demonstrate some of these?
Oh yes. Yes, we did initial extraction, in just about every place that we went.
Mm-hmm. How did you connect with groups over there? I'm interested in that part too. How did that work?
Well, at that time, we had. How did we? I know there was a way that we did this.
The underground network.
Yeah, it was something on that order. Oh, I know. They had held an international conference there, a health conference, and mm-hmm. we got the mailing list mm-hmm. from that conference. And we sent out, because we knew one woman who'd gone to it, and so she had the attendance list, and so we sent out. But the strange part is that not too many of the people who we wrote to invited us, but they passed along the information that we sent, and other people invited us. You know what I'm saying? It was not that formal at that time, in other words.
Now, which women went? You and who?
Debbie Law and Gertrude Stone and myself went. Mm-hmm. And we met a lot of women, some of whom we're still, you know, in very good contact with. And, you know, as a result, there's two feminist women's health centers in Germany. And in fact, the self-help movement is quite huge in Europe. There's many women there who have no knowledge whatsoever that came from the United States. I mean, it's taken its own growth, you know, so that it's not tied in with us that intimately, just because it's, you know, it has a complete autonomous life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
But we went back there last year. Dido Hasker and Shauna Hecker, and visited with the self-help women throughout Europe, and it's very much a part of all their women's clinics and every women's center and health project or whatever. And they have self-help conferences and just in general have an even more active groups than we do. So that one little seed sprouted.
More highlights, more. Tell me about the Yoga Conspiracy Trial. That was in 1970 what?
1972.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
Well, we were raided on September 21st, I think it was, on a self-help clinic night, and it was pretty scary because they had 7 policemen, I think, and 3 people from the Board of Medical Examiners just came crashing in with their subpoena, and I guess they were hoping to find, someone on the table or something, by doing this surprise thing. They confiscated 4 trunkloads of stuff. They just went through and confiscated everything. And they gave us arrest. They had arrest warrants for 2 people, Colleen Wilson and myself. And fortunately, neither one of us were happened to be present in the building.
You would have been down to jail right there.
Right. Right. They did get a hold of us to tell us. So that gave us the chance to rally our support and, start getting out the word and everything. And then we were able to go and turn ourselves in with bail money in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So really all that happened was that we were there long enough to get processed through. And I'm sure that one thing that made it go fairly quickly was that they had about 30 women outside picketing, and they had Time magazine. And, it was kind of pretty conspicuous. So I think that made them kind of facilitate us getting out of there as quickly as possible.
Can you outline the charges they brought against you and Colleen?
Well, they had 11 counts against Colleen. They ranged from pulling out a tampon, fitting a diaphragm, and doing a menstrual extraction, as they say.
All pertaining to practicing medicine without a license.
So it was a whole assortment of these little charges. And I just had 1 count. And this was really interesting because what had happened was that one of the women at the Women's Center, I'm sure, Z Budapest, I'm sure she would not mind if I identify her historic role here. she asked me, she said, if I could give her a little assistance with her yeast condition. And so she ran across the street to the Hughes Market, got some yogurt, brought it over, and there was, some women there that were there for, at that time we were starting a paramedic class. As a matter of fact, we didn't ever continue through with it. Just it wasn't the route we really wanted to go, but that we were sort of experimenting with that. So she was there, and she asked me if I'd put it in. So while these people were there, we just got on the table and put the speculum in, and I spooned in the yogurt. I mean, it was a very simple kind of thing, and I used a swab to make sure it got all on the balls of the vagina, etc. She thanked me, and that was it. And but one of the women that had attended was a former nun, and she filed a complaint. And then they put in an undercover agent who had attended another self-help clinic and who had observed Colleen. And she was the one that was her reports that formed the basis for charges. So when we looked at it, we felt that my charge was the most basic I mean, it really just involved the right to do self-help using the speculum and to assist each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we thought that it highlighted the point for death. So Colleen plea bargained, had a fine, had a probationary period, which, by the way, was quite high considering, you know, the charges.
How much?
It was $250 fine, and it was a 2-year probationary period for one misdemeanor count. That is quite high. And so then we went to trial on my charge. And it was a very, very widely supported case. I mean, we had, national support. We had telegrams and of encouragement and donations and, a packed courtroom. I mean, every day. It was very well-covered, well-publicized, well-supported trial. And, of course, well, I shouldn't say of course, but as a matter of fact, I was acquitted.
Who did you have for lawyers?
Diane Wayne and Jeanette. I've forgotten Jeanette's last name.
Maybe your attorney.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of my voice is picking up. Tried to check it.
Right.
Those were your attorneys. Yeah,
right.
The girl at that trial. And the outcome was that you were acquitted.
Totally acquitted.
How long did the trial take place?
About a week.
Mm-hmm. And it had a lot of media.
Oh, a lot of media coverage. And believe me, that prosecutor pulled every trick in the book to win. I mean, the state went about it very, very seriously.
What do you attribute to the fact that you were acquitted? I mean, you were practicing medicine without a license, in essence.
Well, no. No, I really wasn't. I was
okay.
I was I was practicing health without a license.
What?
I know, I think that the reason why the jury found in our favor, in fact, we talked to the jury afterwards,
mm-hmm.
and they said, well, that prosecutor put on a very good case. They were very impressed with his case that he put on. They said, it's just a ridiculous charge. They said, you weren't doing anything wrong. In other words, they couldn't deny the sort of legalistic or intellectual force of his argument,
mm-hmm.
but their own gut level was how absurd.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Who served on a jury? Because out of curiosity, too. Was that mostly women?
No, it was mostly men.
Huh.
We had a very high percentage of men on it. Yeah, it was interesting. Our attorneys were of the school of thought that you accept the first 12 people at a call.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have anybody disqualified. Mm-hmm. So we just sort of took the first 12 people the prosecutor had some people disqualified, but we didn't challenge one juror. And I guess that our case was just so strong that, it prevailed. I know at one point in the summing up, Diane Wayne pointed out that if what I did was illegal, what about the juror who gave the other juror a cop out? What was that? You know, what about when you put suntan lotion on a friend's back at the beach? You know, I mean, you would have to cut off all those activities. So they definitely found in our favor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you want to talk about the watch trial.
Tell me about it.
Well,
I don't know anything about it.
Okay. this was in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a...
How is it spelled?
WATCH, W-A-T-C-H. It's an acronym for Women Acting Together to Combat Harassment. And this was a meeting of women's clinics in Tallahassee, Florida. And we were... The idea was to join forces to combat harassment against us in the form of clinic licensing, monopolistic practices of the medical profession, you know, trying to drive women out of the area by refusing to let doctors be on the staff if they work in our health center, things like that. And at that time, the Tallahassee Feminist Women's Health Center was suing the local doctors for just doing just that. And so we decided to hold an inspection of the local maternity ward in the Tallahassee Memorial Hospital, because we were very, very, and still are, very outraged at childbirth practices that are, where the medical profession uses unnecessary intervention and really endangers the life and health of, you know, mothers and babies. So 30 of us, 29 women and one man, went over to the hospital and conducted a very brief inspection. We were there about 15 minutes. We just walked through the ward, and people just said hello to us. I mean, the staff, they were a little surprised, but they weren't upset or anything. The only time that anyone told us to leave was when Jenny and I walked into the nursery where the babies were. And the nursery nurse said, you'll have to leave now. And we did. And as a matter of fact, I have a film of this inspection. It's a 2-minute film or something like that, because the local television crew went with us, of the local TV station.
Mm-hmm.
And so we left. Ho-hum, right? I mean, well, guess what? 2 days later, 2 whole days later, they came out to the conference grounds where we were meeting and arrested us. They arrested me. Well, actually, they didn't arrest us at the conference grounds, because we decided to go in and have ourselves be arrested in a better situation. But we went into the TV station, and we were arrested there.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, who you met there, was one of the people. And Linda Curtis, who's with the Tallahassee Health Center, and Janice Cohen, who's the woman from New York City, who's there representing a women's media collective.
Mm-hmm.
So the four of us were arrested and taken to trial. And it wasn't such a happy ending as the WATCH trial.
What happened?
We were convicted. And Jenny and I were fined $1,000 each.
What were you convicted of, though?
With 60 days jail time.
Now, you were convicted of what charges?
Trespassing. And Janice and Linda were fined $500 and 30 days in jail. So we appealed it. And as a matter of fact, it took several years, and it had to go through the Florida Supreme Court and then go up to the District Court of Appeals and so forth, but the end result is that we were acquitted. It took all that time to have our decision reversed, you know. But as of this moment, you know, I have a clean slate.
What I'd like you to do is, I don't know how much time or paper you have, but I'd like you to talk about something that you need to add. What do you see as, if you can give just a few minutes to each one of these questions, what do you see as the future right now of the abortion movement? What is the status of it in your, you know, your opinion? So we can start out with the other ones first. I mean, I know they're long topics, but...
Which, the abortion movement?
Well, okay, start out with that one.
Well, I think I can do that one fairly quickly.
Okay.
I think that abortion is going to continue to be available to women in the United States.
You don't think the right wing is
going
to prevail in
America? Well, they have prevailed to the extent of getting funding cut off for, poor women.
Mm-hmm.
And they are probably going to be able to make some success as far as spousal consent or minor consent, minor